Well, we are in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Nearing the end of this study, you're probably most likely on the last page of of 1 Corinthians there, probably can see the end there, and we're nearing the end, but there's much more that is to be said before we close out this letter, much more on Paul's heart, and more than that, much more on God's heart as he speaks to his church through his word. And we have been looking here at verses 13 and 14 at some divine directives for godly living. Here are a series of exhortations. This is rapid-fire commands. Paul knows he's nearing the end. He's said much. But before he closes it out, he is just rapid-firing out some very necessary, very crucial commands to us as we seek to live for Christ. They're given in military fashion. They are not suggestions. They're not recommendations. They are commands from God to His church. This is our solemn calling before Christ, our divine responsibility before God. And if we're going to live for Christ and stand for Christ and be effective for Christ, then we must live these things in our life. It's absolutely necessary. Without exception, these things must be manifest. They must be built up in our life. We must be walking and living according to these things. That is our desire, amen. If we be in Christ, we want to live for Christ. If we are truly saved, we want to live for the glory of His name. And undergirding these commands is the fact that Christ has died for us. I mean, these aren't just commands coming out of nowhere. These are commands coming from the fact that Christ has shed His own blood for us. He has called us to Himself. He has forgiven us through His blood, reconciled us to God, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And because of Christ and all that He has done for us, we want to live for Him. We want to honor Him. We want to strive and burn and glow for His name and His glory in this world. And if that will be so, then without exception, we must put these commands into place in our life. We have to live them. We have to flesh them out. They're of absolute necessity. Let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word, we read your word, I pray these things would fall down deep into our hearts. I pray that you would help me, Father, to be nothing. There'd be nothing left of me but Christ. Oh, that we would see Him and hear from Him. And so help me, God, to be out of the way and Christ to have all the preeminence. Help us, Father, that we could have ears to hear and eyes to see. We are mindful that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And we don't want these things just in the mind, but in the mind and grounded there, but down into the depths of our heart and our soul to change us and transform us, to save those who are lost, to make the saved more conformed into the image of Christ, that we would live faithfully, Father. We would live these things. We would understand them. We would strive after them. They would be perfected in us that we might be perfected in you. And so, God, help us to that end. Have your will, have your way. Help us to respond to you in obedience, to take these things to heart. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Five divine directives that we are called to practice in our life. We might live effectively for Christ, stand for Him. We have looked at the first two of these. I want us to remind us of them. Originally, I hope to do the last three. And as of this morning, as I was going back through my notes, I just felt led to hold off on the last. And so we're going to look at the next two, and then we'll try to plow through the next one, Lord willing, maybe next Sunday. And so we've looked at two. We're going to look at two more. Let me remind us of the first two briefly. Number one, we are called to watch. Verse 13 begins with one word, just one command, watch. And it is a command to be awake and to be alert spiritually. It is a call to be discerning as to what is going on in our life personally, in our families, in this world, spiritually. It is to see past the external. It is to see past just the earthly and the worldly. and to be living our life and just day by day, moment by moment, what's going on in us, what's going on in our wife, our children, our family, what's going on at work and the people of work, what's going on in our nation, what's going on in our world, to see past that temporal and the earthly to the biblical reality that is truly going on, the spiritual battles, the spiritual warfare, to see everything through the lens of Scripture. And the imagery here is imagery of a soldier being called to battle, a soldier being arrayed in his armor, a soldier literally at the ready with his weapon drawn, and he is scanning the horizon. He is on guard. He is watching. He's alert. He is ready to engage. That's the imagery. There's a multitude of things coming against us as we seek to live for Christ. Amen. The world, the flesh, the devil, all warring against us, pulling us away from Christ, pulling us away with its own allurements from the eternal to the temporal. We are continually tempted to waste our lives on things that will not matter in eternity. We live in a nation that has fallen further and further into the grip of Satan under divine judgment. We live in a world that is heading for divine judgment, utter devastation for the coming of Christ. Do you see that? Boy, you look at the news, you look at the things going on, you look at our nation, you look at the stirring of the nations, the allying of nations, and if you're looking through the lens of Scripture, you know the end is near. I'm telling you, we could fall into the end times, the tribulation, any moment. It could be thousands of years, hundreds of years. I don't think that. I think it is near. Either way, we are to live at the ready, watching, knowing it could be at any moment. He's going to come. And so this is how we must live. And so we must watch. We're commanded to watch, to be alert spiritually, to know the Word and be discerning everything in light of the Scripture. Nothing matters more than this. This divine calling from God. As we've been praying and been coming out of hearts this morning to be abandoning sin and being purified and made like Christ. Nothing matters more than that in our life. Nothing matters more than being pure and holy in our life, that we might be effective for Christ in this world, that we might discern, we might be able to minister to our wife, minister to our children, minister to our husband, minister to the people at work, and know where they are and discern and be able to be on guard and watching and seeing those things. And yet so often, we ourselves are asleep. Spiritually asleep, oblivious to the spiritual things oftentimes, captivated by the devil, seduced by the things of the world, not alert, not discerning what's really going on. We're just sometimes operating in the flesh. Things blow up at home. Things blow up at work, and we're in the flesh, and we're responding and we're not discerning. We're not on guard. We're not at the ready. We're not on watch. We must watch, or we will not live for Christ. We won't be effective for Christ. We won't glorify the one who has given everything for us. And so if we're going to live for Him and honor Him, then we must watch, spiritually alert, discerning, at the ready, on guard. The only way to do that, we said, is to truly be saved and to be growing and established in the Word. You must be saved. You must be born again. You cannot be on guard and watching spiritually if you are not filled with the Spirit of God. If you're not indwelt with the Spirit of God, if you are not born again, if you have not repented of sin and put your faith in Christ, it is impossible for you to be on watch. You must be saved, and then you must be immersed in the Word, saturating yourself in the Word, growing in the Word, giving yourself to the Word, to the seeking of God in the Word. And as you do that daily, you will be then established in the Word and nourished with the Word, that you might be looking at everything through the lens of the Word. Crucial. And so we must watch. Secondly, he goes on to call us to stand fast in the faith. Verse 13 goes on to say, stand fast in the faith. Those words stand fast speak of standing firm, being immovable, persevering, enduring, persisting, unwavering. It's speaking of something that is fixed, something that is not able to be moved. It is rooted down. It has been fixed. It speaks of hammering a stake into the ground to hold something down, hammering a tent stake into a piece of solid bedrock so that it cannot be moved. Again, it is military language. It speaks of a soldier who is, as we said already, he's on watch. But now, at this point, he's in the fiercest of battles. I mean, everything is coming against him, and yet he's standing there. He's fixed. He's immovable. He's standing his ground. He will not relent. He is resolved to not be moved and to stand there and fight whatever the cost. And that's the imagery. Nail your feet to the truth of Scripture and do not be moved. Stake your feet into the foundation of the Word of God that is eternal. It will never fade away. It will never pass away. Flesh will fall. The grass of the field will fail, but the Word of God endures forever. Nail your feet there and you will not be moved. That's the calling here. Stand in the faith. Be immersed in that Word. Stake your life, your soul, your eternity, your wife, your children down in that Word, your church down in that Word. Don't be moved from there. Stand. So crucial. In a world that is bound in sin and deception, falling more and more to the lies and the deceptions of the devil, that's what's going on. That's why the world's so messed up. That's why our nation currently is so deceived and so messed up. In a world where the truth of God's Word offends, where it's being hated and rejected more and more, in a world where so many professing Christians are departing from the faith, just as God has forewarned, many will depart from the faith. In such a day as this, God calls His church to stand fast in the faith. Do not be moved from the truth of Scripture. This is how we're to live. You want to live for Christ? You have a desire in you to go after Christ, to burn for Christ, to glorify Christ? Well, then you better watch. You cannot live your life without watching and be effective for Christ. You have to be alert spiritually. You have to discern everything through the Word of God. See the true spiritual reality and battle behind everything. And then you must be standing in the faith. You must be immersed in the Word of God. Nail your life, your feet there. Be there daily that you might live there and stand there in everything coming against you daily. You must stand fast in the faith. Crucial in our life. Thirdly, this is where we pick up. We are to be brave. The middle of verse 13, be brave. In the Greek, it is a word, let me see if I can get this right, andridzomi. And to be brave is only part of what this word actually means. If you have the old King James translation of the Bible, it's translated, quit you like men. Quit you like men. The word quit, the old English, there means to behave, to act. Act like men, behave like men. Operate your life and live like men. And that is what the Greek word used here actually means. It is to act like men. It is to behave like men. Conduct yourself like a man. It has the idea of true maturity, of true courage, of strength. It's the exact opposite of being childish. Acting like a child, behaving like a mere child, immature, lacking knowledge, lacking wisdom, fearful, ignorant, without spine, without backbone, without courage. The command here is to grow up and behave like men. Conduct yourself as men. Be wise. Be strong. Be courageous. Be mature. Now, what does this mean specifically? Well, it means to be like Christ. Because you want to see what a man is, you look at Jesus Christ. It means to be strong in Christ. It means to be mature in Christ, to act like Christ, to have the strength, the courage, the wisdom, the maturity, the backbone of Christ. It means, as we have already seen, it means to watch. You want to act like a man, then watch. Give yourself to the seeking of God and His Word, to know the truth, to saturate your mind in the truth so that you might be alert to everything going on in your life through the lens of Scripture. You're seeing it all as it truly is. Giving yourself, immersing yourself in the Word of God so that you are not deceived. So that everything going on in your life that day and in your family and all those around you, you're seeing the spiritual reality of it. And understand, behind all the reality of flesh and blood that we see is the spiritual. And it's never non-existent. There's always spiritual battle, spiritual reality being fought behind everything going on. See that. Discern that. And the only way to do that is to be immersed in the Word of God. That's acting like men. It means standing fast in the faith. It is to know the Word, to be giving yourself to the study of the Word of God, to growing in the Word. being a man that is disciplined to do what is necessary, to be immersed in the Word, to be spending time with God, that you will know the Word and go out that day immersed in the Word, that you can stand in the Word, be anchored to the Word, growing in that Word, steadfast in the Word, never being moved from the Word. That's acting like men. Keep your post. You stand your ground for the Lord. You place yourself there in Christ. You nail your feet there in Christ, and you do not move from Christ. And that's acting like men, spiritual men, men who are mature in Christ. You're in a battle. We're in a battle. You're not to be consumed with the temporal, the earthly pursuits. If you're acting like men, that's not your focus. You're not consumed with just the earthly and the temporal and the worldly. You're consumed with the true eternal things, the spiritual things, the things of God, the kingdom of God, the things of Christ. You're striving after Christ. You're striving to keep your life going after the things of the kingdom. You have a Savior to serve and glorify. You have a family to love, to lead to Christ, to establish in Christ. You have a church to build up, to edify, to minister, to use your spiritual gifting, to grow them in the things of Christ, to help them along in the things of Christ. And every part of the body is to be doing its share. We all need each other doing our part. The body is crippled down. That's acting like Christ. You have to stand. You have to fight. You have to be engaged in the real spiritual battle. You must be brave. You must be courageous. You must be mature. Fulfill your holy calling. That's acting like men. Now, we have to pause here for a moment and realize we live in a world and in a culture that does not even know what a man is. The definition of a man has been lost, polluted by sin and a satanic deception. We live in a nation where even to be a man, masculinity is now repulsive. Men are despised. They are being called to stop acting like men. Quit mansplaining. Shut your mouth. You have no voice here. What you think is not valid here. Shut up and listen to us. That's what men are being told these days. You're now to find your feminine side and bow down to the feminist elite. Understand every bit of that is demonic. That comes right out of the pit of satanic deception. It is anti-God ideology. It's anti-Christ ideology. What we need in this world and what we need in this society, what we need in the church is men, men who are true men, spiritual men, men who are like Christ. That's what we need. And that is the command here. That is the calling here. Act like men. What kind of men? Christ. Oh, He is the great example. I mean, this does not mean being rough and gruff. It's not, you know, being able to bench 400 pounds. This is not being able to take somebody down and pick a fight and take that individual down in 0.4 seconds. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being like Christ. We're talking about truly being saved. Born again, transformed from the inside out by the power of the living God, regenerated. We're talking about growing in the Word of God, growing in the faith, maturing in the faith, knowing what matters in life and giving yourself to those things that matter. It means being examples of Christ, fighting the true spiritual battles that are raging all around us. It means going after Christ. Set yourself to go after Christ. That's the only way you're going to be able to act like Christ and walk as Christ. Mature in Christ. Become more and more holy. It's to be growing in the Word, in the knowledge of the Word, and in your obedience to the Word. Because any growing in the Word that is not marked by obedience is a deception. We might know it in our mind, but if we're not putting it into practice and living it in our life, then we do not know it. We're just mere children. It means growing in your faithfulness to Christ. As we've said, it means having true spiritual wisdom and knowledge of the Word and being watching. That's what it means to be mature, to be men, to be spiritually discerning of everything. It means being standing fast in the faith, to not be moved, to be wielding the sword of the Spirit in your life personally. Everything you're battling in your own life as you strive to be like Christ, it's discerning in your family and wielding the sword into the wife of your life and building her up in Christ, and your children and leading them to Christ and building them up in Christ, and how to serve Christ and seek Christ and follow Christ and stand for Christ and give everything to Christ. You're wielding there. You're acting like men. You're doing what you ought to do. What means everything. That is the calling here. That's acting like men. It means building up the church, doing your part in the church. A man who is a spiritual man, mature in Christ, not only does he know the importance of Christ in his own life and his family, but he knows the importance of church in his life and his family. He knows it's the body of Christ, doing the work of Christ for the glory of Christ until the coming of Christ. Therefore, he gives himself to faithful service in the church. He's there. He's faithful. He's building that church up. He's praying. He's striving. He's using his spiritual gifting. Building up one another. Pouring into others personally. Not just so wrapped up in his own life and his own world. He's not being a minister of Christ among the people of Christ. Oh, how we need that. That's acting like men. Ephesians 4. I'm just going to go there and just read for a minute. I'm not in a hurry since I eliminated about a third of the message. I can spend a little more time here, Lord willing. Ephesians 4. Maybe go home and read the whole chapter into chapter 5. It all applies. But just skipping down to chapter 4, down in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. There you see all of us as we're working, using our spiritual gifting, doing what God has called us to do, maturing in Christ, acting like men, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's what we're talking about. Act like men. Be built up into Christ. Come to full maturity in Christ. Be striving and going after Christ and living out the truth of Christ. Living that out in your life. So as it goes on here, just read some more of that. Chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore. What do you mean, therefore? In light of becoming mature in Christ, and that being the whole purpose of the church and pastors and teachers, to build up everyone to maturity in Christ, that we might act like men mature in Christ. This I say, therefore, verse 17, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. I tell you, that is the spitting image of our world, our nation, our culture. And what he's saying is there, don't walk like that anymore. That's how you used to walk. That's where you used to live, but God reached down there in the muck and mire and He brought you to Christ and washed you in the blood of Christ, set you apart for His name and His glory. Don't live like that anymore. Put that off. Then he goes on, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you do that? Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Be immersed in the Word. Put off that former conduct, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, very practical, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. There ought to be a holy, righteous indignation against those things that are wicked and evil, most importantly in our own life, but then everything coming against our family and the lost and our world and everything. There ought to be a holy indignation, but it ought not to turn into sin. Nor give place to the devil, verse 27. Let him who still no longer, but let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he might have something to give. It's not just so you can have your needs met, but so you can be a minister of Christ and meet the needs of others. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. How's your mouth?
What kind of words are coming out of your mouth? Because you're the temple of God. There's words that some of you may speak out there that you would never speak in here, and yet you're the temple of the living God. You're the temple. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good, necessary for edification. Why? That it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Anything else will grieve the Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What are you after? What do you want from us? Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God. That's it. How holy do you want us to be? As holy as Christ Himself. How mature in Christ do we need to be? As mature as Christ is. We like to step back and make every excuse and justification for why we're not. You put that off. You die to that and you go after Him. Yes, we'll never arrive this side of heaven, but we ought to strive for it with all the grace and power God gives us. And so act like men. And so I just want to pause here and ask you, just apply this. Are you living as men? And the women, this is for you too. It's coming out in the masculine, but you're to be conformed into the image of Christ. There's things that applies to a man that may not apply to you, but there's things that apply to you that may not apply to a man. Either way, we're all to be mature in Christ. Amen? Are we living this? Does God in seeking the face of God have its rightful place in our life? There will be no conforming and maturing and becoming like Christ if we're not going after that. And so where is that in your life? Is that something that's often shoved to the side? Neglected because you're so busy with life that you've got all these things going on and always taking the back seat is time with God, time in prayer, time in the Word. Now, I'm not trying to beat you up too much, because why did God give pastors and teachers? To equip the saints. And I've said this a while back, I'll just say it again. One of the great immense privileges and responsibilities I have is to spend all week in that Word, because you can't. And then to come in here and unleash that, to pour that into you so it will build you up. But in the same side of that, that's part of it, and that's absolutely true. In another sense, that does not alleviate you from your own personal responsibility of going after God and being in the Word and not just relying on what you get here, because you need this every day. You need it in your life every day. And so, you know, if you got to go to bed an hour early so you can get up an hour earlier to be with God for that hour, do it. Because it's crucial. It's crucial in your life. It's crucial in my life. That's acting like men. So is that reality in your life? And if not, build that. Build that. That's what God would want us to get out of this. We need to be immersing ourselves in the Word and going after God in the Word and in prayer daily so that we might be mature in Christ. And so go after this. It could apply to our Sunday school lessons and the preaching of the Word. Are you taking that to heart, or does it go in one ear and out the other? By the next week, have you forgotten what was taught last Sunday? Or have you thought about that and dwelt on that and taking that in and nourishing that and trying to live that out, so by the time you come in next Sunday, you've already been trying to live that and battling that. You've already been striving after that, and now you're getting more. So we need to be serious about these things. There's a second thing that we see here. Not only watch, stand fast in the faith, act like men. A second thing today, it's number 4 in this series of commands, be strong. The last words there in verse 13, be strong. We must understand this command. We have to put this into practice. We must be strong. Literally in the Greek language, it is to be made strong. It doesn't just say be strong, it says be made strong, be strengthened. And that's important because we cannot be strong in and of ourselves. We cannot be strong in and of ourselves. We must be made strong. We must be strengthened with true might, with true strength beyond our own, with a strength and a power that comes only from God. That's how we must be strengthened. You can't muster this up. It's not talking about mustering up strength in and of ourselves. This is not talking about finding some inner strength, some willpower, and pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps and be strong, get yourself strong. No, it's be strengthened, be made strong. from the outside source, the only source, and that is God and God alone. The only way to be strengthened and have the power of God flowing through you is to realize how utterly weak you are and to abandon all hope of self and put all hope, cast all that far from you, put it all in Christ and Christ alone. That's how you have to live the Christian life. You will not do this in your own strength. We cannot live for Christ. We cannot live these truths in our lives unless we have the power of Christ flowing through our life. You won't live for Christ without the power of Christ. You won't stand for Christ without the power of Christ. You won't discern the things of God without the power of God. You must have His power. You must be strengthened with His might. You need the power of God to live for Him. And so we have to be abandoning ourselves, our own strength, our own wisdom. That's how we have to live. And then casting ourselves at His feet and calling on Him to strengthen us and give us wisdom and power that comes from Him and Him alone. That needs to be something that's just very vivid, very real, very... Just our life, day in and day out, even moment by moment. That has to be a living reality. Paul Washer has well said, your problem is not that you're too weak, but your problem is that you think yourself too strong. It's not that you're too weak. That's not the problem at all. Our problem is that we think ourselves too strong. We live our lives as if, you know, we can do this on our own. We live as if we can, you know, go through each day and then not really take the time to be alone with God, not really strive with God in prayer that day. Not really take some time to focus in on His Word and try to take something from the Word with us that we might meditate on it and apply it to our life. We live as if we don't have to do those things. We often will live without daily abandoning ourselves in utter dependency to God and just acknowledging that we need Him and taking the time to get a hold of Him and truly abandon self there at His feet. And if we had any sense at all of how utterly weak and hopeless we are in ourselves, it would drive us to spend the first few hours of our day in prayer and in the Word. It would. And the more you sense the spiritual battles all around you and in you, the more you sense your utter weakness and that all that you need is in God, the more it will drive you there to God to seek Him fervently in prayer, to seek Him in His Word. Imagine someone getting up from their pew, coming down here, and they set themselves. They get down and they take off running as hard as they could into that brick wall. They hit that wall, they fall down, they're all busted up, get up, shake the dust off, come back over here, set themselves again, run into that brick wall. Bust themselves up, fall down, shake themselves off, get up. They just keep doing it again and again and again. That's how many professing Christians live the Christian life. Just like that. They get up each day. Maybe they say a little prayer on the way. And then they take off that day and they think they're going to wage war in this spiritual battle and wield the sword of God. And they're just powerless. They're just running into a brick wall. No power. No power. They get up the next day and they do it again. Get up the next day and they do it again. How do you know that, Tim? Because I've lived that way. How about you? Now, why do we do that? Because we think we can do this on our own. And we step back and say, oh, no. No, I know I need God. I know I can't do this on my own. Well, you know that in your mind. But the fact that you live your life that way and you're not taking the time to be alone with God and deny yourself and abandon all hope in self and plead with God for wisdom, plead with God for power, plead with God for wisdom, plead with God to put you to death and make you like Christ and strive in the Word and saturate your mind in the Word. The fact that you're not doing that shows that you know that in your mind, but you don't truly know that. Because if you truly knew that in your heart and soul, it would drive you there. You would not want to take the step out the door without that time with God. We can do nothing without Him. John 14:15. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. What's that mean? Nothing. You can't draw breath in your lungs without Him. You can't wake up and have your mind to even think to get out of bed and get dressed. Have your cognizance, a mind that can ration without Him. You have no strength to even begin to lift yourself out of bed without Him. How much more to discern the spiritual reality that's going on? How much more to be mature in Christ, to be discerning, to be on watch, and to be wielding the sword of the Spirit and at the ready and engaged in the battle all around you? How much more the spiritual, eternal things? We can do nothing without Him. We must be strengthened by God daily. Oh, I cannot stress that or overemphasize that enough. And that will not happen unless we abandon all hope in self and truly seek God and truly seek His power daily in fervent prayer in the Word. Back to Ephesians. Let's go back there. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. It doesn't stop there, does it? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It is the same exact truth. Be strengthened. Be strong. But how do you do that? In the Lord. You don't muster this up. You can't stir this up. It's got to come down from outside of you. You've got to go after it from God. Only God can strengthen you. Only God can set your mind to be alert. Only God can set you in the Word. Only God can establish you as a soldier. Only God can do these things that we need done. Only God can strengthen you to live for Christ. Only God can strengthen you to lead your family after Christ. Only God can strengthen you to be a weapon of Christ in the workforce and to be wielding that sword and trying to reach others for Christ, to be a light of Christ in this nation, in the world. Only God can do these things. Be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. And so just seal this down deeper in your heart, your soul. The power that is needed to live for Christ, to stand for Christ, to wage the warfare of Christ is found in Christ alone. Christ alone. How do we get it? You still there in Ephesians 6? Verse 10 is the command. Verse 11 is the application. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now here's the spiritual battle that we're in every day. Here's a picture of it because we often don't see it. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's what's going on daily in our life. Therefore, how are we strong in the Lord? How are we strengthened in His might? Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's the same thing, isn't it, that we've been studying. Watch. Be on alert. Stand fast in the faith. Act like men. Realize the battle you're in. Be strong. Be strengthened. Be courageous. How? Only in the power of God. Only in His might. The only way to be strong in the Lord and stand in His power is to be clothed with His armor. And that's what we just saw there. Be strong in the Lord, be strengthened by Him. You're in a battle. How do you do that? In His armor. The call to follow Jesus is not a call to a life of ease. It's not a call just to say this prayer and believe these things and join a church. It is a call to warfare. It is a call to battle. And you will be up against a daunting enemy who has no mercy for you. He hates you. He hates your wife. He hates your children. He hates your family. He hates your church. He hates your nation. He hates everyone around you. And he has no mercy. He is out to devour. We must be empowered and engaged in this battle. We must stand and fight. We must give this our all, and we must do so in the power of God and the armor of God. And as we empty ourselves out before God, that is the... If you take one thing home with you today, let it be how weak you are, and let that weakness drive you to fervent desire and seeking after God daily. If we're going to be strong in Him, then we're going to have to fall down daily. How do you do that, brother? Well, you just get away from everything in your life. You take the time that is needed to fall down on your face and begin to acknowledge God and set your focus on God and ask God for grace and help. And then you begin to confess your sin and everything that you know that you've done that has not yet been confessed. Confess that, own up to that, ask God to pray and seek, you know, search you out and reveal things, and just keep unloading all that sin to God, asking God for grace and power to turn from that and just abandon everything there at His feet. I mean everything. Just cast yourself there and say, God, You know me. You know how weak I am. You know I'm just dust. You know how fleshly I am. You know how tempted I am by the flesh. You know how I strive against sin, and yet I often fail. God, You know me. You know me inside and out. God, You know how weak I am. I have no power but You. I have no hope but You. And oh God, that You wouldn't let me live in my flesh or in my own power, my own wisdom. But oh God, You would fill me with Your Spirit, and You would fill me with Your wisdom. God, You would take hold of me that I might see, that I might discern, that I might be engaged, that I might live for the glory of Christ. And if you're not doing that daily, you're banging your head against that wall. It's what you're doing every day. And then if you're not coming up from that prayer to engage yourself in the Word and strive after God in the Word, even if it's a few verses, even if it's just one chapter, as long as you're getting with God and seeing God and taking something from the Word, that is your life, it's your sustenance, it's sweeter than honeycomb. It means everything. But see, we know that. But we often will stay elsewhere and not give ourselves to that because we're too strong. We think ourselves too strong. If we knew how weak we were, we could do nothing less than take the time to abandon everything at His feet, plead with Him for His power and wisdom. Take the time to saturate our mind in the Word that we might be effective for Him. Be strong. How are you going to do that? Not winging it. Not just the status quo. You're going to have to go after Him. It's there emptied before God. It's there confessing sin and getting cleansed in the blood of Jesus and abandoning all hope of self and clinging to God and pleading with God and begging God to make you like a son and make you effective for Him, and then immersing yourself in the Word. That's where you're strengthened. That's where God clothes you with His armor. And I hope that illustration is sealed in your heart. If you're not doing that, just run into that wall and get a good picture of what you're doing. No, don't do that. Just get a good picture of what you're actually doing spiritually. The power to stand for Christ and live for Christ and glorify Christ. The power to watch, to be discerning. The power to stand fast in the faith. The power to act like men, to act like Christ, to live for the things that are eternal. It is found nowhere but Christ. That's why a lot of people say, you know, you just can't live the Christian life. A lot of professing Christians say, you know, you can't live it. No, you can't. Not without Him. And you'll never live it if you're not realizing that and letting that drive you to Him and plead and beg that God would shed mercy and grace and fill you up and give you wisdom and discernment. That's the only way you're going to live it. And you do that and you'll find the power of God. You'll find the presence of God. You'll find the strength of God. You'll find every single thing you need right there on your face, abandoned and desperate for Him alone. And since that's so, guess where Satan tries to hit us the hardest? Anybody got a clue? Where does he attack us the hardest? What's he trying to keep us from? Come on, talk to me. The Word. He's trying to keep us from that time alone with God in prayer. And he's trying to keep us filled with every excuse and every justification for why we just can't get away and really spend that quality time. I don't care if it's 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour. What you'll find is the more that you begin to really live this and just is that how much you need it more and more. And that little 20 minutes that you began with will turn into a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to abandon yourself there, get cleaned up, get with God, and be able to be useful to Him and filled with Him when you go out. Jeremiah 32:27. God put this verse in my heart a while back. And I've clung to it because I've so desperately needed it. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold." Jeremiah 32:27. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Now that first word is a command. Look. Behold God. Fathom Him. Set your eyes upon God, who He is. And then God asks this question. He's the Lord. He's the God of all flesh. This question, is there anything too hard for me? Answer? No. No. Is it too hard for God to make us holy? Too hard for God to root sin out of us, make us pure? No. Is it too hard for God to revive His church, take the world out of us, put the kingdom of God in us, and set us ablaze for Him? No. Is it too hard for God to save our lost spouse? No. No. Is it too hard for God to save our lost children? No. No. There's nothing too hard for Him. Well, where does God unleash that power? Where does that power flow? Upon whom does God look? Upon whom does God reveal His presence and His nearness and infuse with power and enable? Who is that person? Well, Isaiah 66:1-2. Heaven. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you'll build for me? How are you going to build something that will contain the God who can do anything? Where's the place of my rest? That's where I want to be. Wherever God's resting, that's where I want to be. Verse 2, for all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look. On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. You want to meet with God? You want power to wield the sword? You want power to discern? You want power to be a man, men, a true man? You want to lead your family to Christ? You want to be an effective weapon for Christ? You want to live for the eternal things of God? Where's the power of God? Where is it found? When you're broken, when you're contrite, when you're emptied there before God, abandoned before God, all your sin laid out before God, confessed before God, you're desperate for God. Oh God, help me. Help me. I can't do this on my own, God. I need power from you. I can't save my kids. I can't lead them to you. I can't save a church. I can't revive a church. Oh God, I need you. And to get in the Word and tremble there and see the living God. That's where the power of God falls. That's where that individual is clothed with power from on high and lifted up with God's armor to live for God in this world. Be strong. But don't you dare think you can be strong in yourself. You better abandon that and fall there at the feet of the only one who can give you power. to live as He's called you to live. Beloved, this is truth. And this is truth we must take to heart. That's enough for today, or we could go on to the next one. We'll save it because I want to just reemphasize these again next week and then unload the next one or the last one. And He's not done. There's more even after this. But these are the divine directives for godly living. Listen, you won't live for Christ without this. And sometimes we sit back, well, we know this. Not if we're not living it. You might know it in your mind and then you're just deceived if that's all it is. If it's not fleshing out in your hands and your feet, your mind, your thoughts, your life, the way you live, you don't know it. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Search your heart this morning. Are you truly saved? I'm not asking if there was a time when you said a prayer and joined a church, was baptized. But are you truly born again? Is the Spirit of God in you? Has He changed you? Has He taken you out of the muck and the mire and placed you into the blood of Christ? Has He given you a new relationship with the world and sin, and you see it as it is and you're fleeing from it and you've abandoned it and you're going after Christ, and that desire is real in you? It burns in you. Matter of fact, the closer you get to God, the more you hate your sin, the more you hate the temporal, the more that you long for God to be like Him and live for the eternal. And you see that. That's the life of a true born-again Christian. Why? Because God will see to it. If you're born again, God does it. It's not exempt from you. He'll do it in you and through you. He'll move and work you to that end, and it will be a growing process. Be immediate and growing. But is that real? Is that real in you? Or do you step back and you look to that time and you look at your life now and you don't really see new desires? You don't see a real hunger for God, the things of God. You don't see real transformation. There's just, you look at your life and maybe just hearing these things, you don't really know these things in your own heart. Well, then you need to be saved. You need to be saved. These things are real. And without exception, they will be real in you if you're born again. Maybe you've never come to a point where you've just abandoned self for Christ. You've never come to understand your sin. And God's showing you your sin. He's showing you your condemnation. He's showing you He's holy, that you're heading for judgment, and that your only hope is Christ. He loves you. He's provided a way. Christ has shed His own blood for your sins. And if you'll call upon Him, turning from sin, He will save you, cleanse you, reconcile you to God. And you just need to come and respond to Him. Then do that today. If you are His, are you living these things? Are you putting these things into practice? Are you growing in these things? Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. The Christian life is a call to battle. It's a call to stand for Christ. It's a call to live for Christ. It's a call to be crucified with Christ daily. The self dies hard. The flesh dies hard. It just don't leave easily. You got to be in prayer. You got to be in the Word. You got to be desperate and diligent for God. And when you are, when that's where you place yourself, that's where God looks. And that's where God dwells. And that's where God strengthens. And that's where God infuses with holy power, that we might be useful and effective for Him in this world. Let's stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we bow before You. We need You. I pray these truths would, I believe they have, but I pray they would continue right now to penetrate our heart and move us where You want us to be. And if we've been struggling in these things haven't really been what's been in place in our life, God, help us to come and confess that, repent of that. Help us to plead with You that we might live this way. Christ is worthy of such a life, such a people. such a church. Build us, God, into the very likeness of Christ. Root everything out of us that is worldly and sinful, idolatrous, temporal, that's in your way. And plant everything into us, God, that is Christ-like, pure, holy, effective for you, effective for His name in this world. Let your will be done in us today, God. Help us to respond in obedience to you, whatever it may be, in Jesus' name. Amen.